Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was a big week. Last weekend, we had our first bishop's election here in the Montana Synod, or new bishop's election in about 11 years, I suppose. 12 years, I guess, when the election was. So, big change in direction. I'm not sure if you guys know the history of how popes got elected or not, but for the first 900 years or so of Christian history, popes were just elected by the Roman mob. There's just a group of people that would have various candidates, and they would just cheer louder for one than the next one. The way our ballot system works is we don't come with any nominees, and so sometimes it feels like a little bit like the Lutheran mob in Great Falls, you know. We started with over 40 names on the first ballot. Somebody doesn't like me very much because they put my name down twice. Got a couple votes for bishop, so. But then narrowed it down from there. And to many people's surprise, we did not elect our associate to the bishop, Jason Asselstein, though it came very close. He was second to Dr. Lori Jungling, who's been doing interims back in Montana. And this is a new direction for our synod and our synod office to elect somebody from outside of the synod to be the next bishop. Pretty cool, really. And many thanks to Gordon and Audrey Granley for representing us there. Unfortunately, Sherry was scheduled to go, but she had a little fall. So she called me the night before from the ER and said she couldn't make it. So you were missed, but we were still well represented there. Thanks to Elias, was my traveling companion to and from Great Falls. We discussed all the world's problems. We got them all solved. And I had to bring him up on Unabomber history, too, as we were driving through Lincoln. But all in all, in the Lutheran Church, we see the election of our calling our... I should say the election is really more like a call process. We called a new bishop, just like we would call a pastor here. We see that as an extension of the work of the Holy Spirit, which is fully on display on Pentecost Sunday. The red represents the Spirit blowing through our lives, descending upon the church, and being present throughout communities of faith throughout the history of the church. A colleague, who shall remain nameless, I spoke to her this past week about the bishop's election, and she was like, whew, God pulled a fast one on us. Didn't see that one coming. I have to agree. Going into the assembly weekend, I had no expectations that Dr. Jungling would be our next bishop-elect, but here we are. That's how God often moves, specifically the Holy Spirit. We recognize in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit is kind of moving in a thousand different directions. In seminary, our classes on the Holy Spirit, our systematic theology classes, were oftentimes the most frustrating, right? Because when does the Holy Spirit come to you? In Jesus, it comes at his baptism. In Acts, you find that, well, they were baptized once, but then they have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What? You find God through the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues and doing all this crazy stuff. It seems quite a bit different than God the Creator and God the Father, as we learn about in Genesis. It's very ordered, you know, 7 days of creation. This happened, then this happened, then this happened. And that's how God moves. And I have to say that many of us think about God oftentimes in ways of this great cosmic ordering, right? When things line up and it seems almost providential that things would happen at the right time and in the right place and the right way. Not so with the Holy Spirit. Though I do believe that God and the Holy Spirit shows up at precise times and precise ways. It's a mystery to us. It is a mystery to us. You see that in our story from the reading from Acts. The faithful apostles were gathered in a house together, and it says that the Spirit descended upon that house, maybe like kind of like a loud little mini thunderstorm or something. And reading it, I hadn't paid attention to this detail before, but in previous readings, I just assumed that everybody had been gathered beforehand. But the text in Acts says that what happened at that house made so much noise that it drew the crowd. People came to check out what's going on. What is happening at this house of faith? They weren't there previously. And when they showed up as people from many nations, from Parthia to the Medes to Romans even, Egyptians, Libyans. They were all gathered in Jerusalem for the festival that weekend. They all came with their different languages, their different customs, their different cultures. But they all gathered at the house to see what God was doing in the Holy Spirit together. God drew them to that community of faith, that house of the faithful. I've been thinking about that this week. I've been fortunate to have many international experiences this week, more than normal, I would say. We welcomed, and many thanks to all those who showed up this past Tuesday evening at our listening and conversation session with Bishop Manang and Pastor Kuno from the Cape Orange Diocese in South Africa. They shared about their church and how God has blessed them with a faithful base of believers, a church that is, many congregations are quite large. They were telling me their average congregation is about 1,000 people or more. But they said that 80% of their congregation members are the working poor. 80% of them clean houses and make less than minimum wage here and struggle to get by. And so they are rich in people. They are wealth of community of the faithful. But they struggle to pay for property and pay for houses of worship. And they shared with us how it's kind of different and the opposite for the German Lutherans in South Africa. That they have all sorts of property, but they don't have the people to fill the pews anymore. It's kind of different directions of how God is moving in those churches, the different resources that they have. Again, mysterious, right? If God is in our churches, as we claim in the third article of the Creed, why wouldn't God be bringing everybody all the time to our houses of worship, just like God gathered them all around the church in Jerusalem, that very first Pentecost when the Holy Spirit poured out? We had I was thinking about that. I've been thinking about that a lot, actually, these 5 years of ministry. It's a new day and age for the church. And especially was thinking about it in new ways at the assembly. As all of our bishop candidates got up and every one of them mentioned, spoke to the declining membership in our churches. There was a time when Montana was filled with Nordic and German settlers and homesteaders who all needed to build churches and attend them regularly. As time has worn on, people have begun to stay away from our churches all across the High Line, and churches from like Glasgow over to Libby, Baker over to Thompson Falls. Once many of these churches could afford two pastors, and now many of them can't even afford one. These communities that were just full of the faithful have big questions of where the Holy Spirit is blowing them next. And I would say many of our Lutheran folks kind of sit around and wonder why God won't just, and the Holy Spirit, blow more people to our doors to keep coming here. But I think we find from Acts a different model. The Spirit, when the Spirit poured upon that first church in Jerusalem, it did not do so as a spirit of conformity. It did not bring everybody to that one house so we can all look the same and be the same and talk the same, right? Instead, it did exactly the opposite. It poured upon them in a variety of difference in language and country and nation and customs. People from all across the Roman Empire of that time were able to hear the gospel in their own language, hear the good news, and see what God was doing in their midst in unique, diverse, and varied ways. And that is powerful. And the message that God was sending them through the Holy Spirit was not that everybody should come to them and be like them, conform and dress the same and talk the same and do the same things, but instead that they were to go out. They were to leave Jerusalem to be sent to the nations, to be sent to their neighbors, to be sent to foreign countries all across the empire and then eventually around the world, so that they could speak to each and every person and bear witness to what God had done in their lives, to proclaim to the whole world the good news that everyone is made in the image of God and redeemed through the blood of Christ. What happened in Jerusalem, that Pentecost so long ago, was that they were to be called forth, and called forth to translate the gospel into all these different languages, to all these unique places, and to all those unique people spread across the globe. And thanks to their efforts, we are still here as a church, far, far from Jerusalem here in Montana today. We believe that the existence of the church testifies to the work of the Holy Spirit, that we are here not just because it's a good idea or for some historical remembrance or anything like that, but we are here called each and every week by the Holy Spirit of God so that we may be renewed in our faith, remember our baptisms, forgiven at the table and the bread and the wine, and to share our faith and our lives with one another as that great communion of saints, as we say in the Creed. Another international experience, if you will, was not quite so international from this past week, but was still, I would say, maybe multinational, if you will. Got a call a few months back from a woman, Georgie, whose son has been attending SKC for the past 2 years and just graduated yesterday with his associate's degree. I believe he's one of the first members of the family to get a college degree, and they were all super excited. So, and they are Georgie and Skylar and Aitana, who have been attending church here the past couple months. And they just had their baby last week, by the way. Kyler, I think I emailed out about Kyler. He's doing pretty healthy. There's still concerns about hearing in his right ear. This family came here from the White River Apache Reservation in Arizona. And believe it or not, down there they are Wisconsin Lutheran synods. Does anybody know anything about the Wisconsin Lutherans? They're quite a bit more rigid than we are here at Faith Lutheran. They don't allow females to preach, and they're pretty tight with who they let commune with them around the table, amongst other theological differences. So I was pretty surprised. To see and hear that they have a thriving mission on the White River Apache. Plus, it's just cool to think about Apache Lutherans, you know. So they came here. They have a whole van full of family members and friends. And they couldn't afford hotels for everybody for the whole week. And so they reached out to us. Hey, can we stay in your church? So I consulted with our council, and we thought it was not only good, but crucial that when we are asked to open our doors to strangers and people in need, that we go out of our way to do so. And they were blessed guests. Bonnie can attest that they make some pretty good fry bread.
And breakfast.
And they were very courteous and cleaned up after themselves, and I really appreciated having them here and present with us this week. But it reaffirmed for me The power of the sending by the Holy Spirit. The power of the sending. Here we are, so far from Jerusalem. Our ancestors, almost equally far, or many of our ancestors. Mine, at least, come from pretty far north in Europe, right? Nowhere near the Middle East. And yet God moved through the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel so that it wouldn't remain hidden and stuck in one house. So my ancestors wouldn't have to travel to Jerusalem to hear the good news. To hear that they are forgiven and redeemed and remade in the image of God day after day after day. Because God loves them that much. Through the course of history, the message crossed the seas with so many. And it made it not only to the Americas, but to the Native Americans. So that here in our church this week, we could welcome Apache Lutherans as part of our congregation and as friends and neighbors in faith. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing that reaffirmed for me that though God moves in mysterious ways, we might not always understand how God's will lines up and who is next to lead us or why people don't come to church as much as they maybe once did or attend some churches more than others. I've been reaffirmed this week more than ever that the Spirit moves. The Spirit blows through our lives and sends us out week after week to new places, new people, new languages, new experiences. So that the gospel might be shared and heard and experienced in new ways each and every day. And that is a blessed thing that we celebrate this Pentecost. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.